today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the president says the decline in U.S. tourism is, quoting him directly now, no big deal. What an uninformed doofus. And Airbnb is finally disclosing pricing up front, and guess what is happening? Those stories and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20, we have a real ID update. And Mark asks, why can't we all be just a little bit more civilized getting on the plane?
At 11:35, we'll share 7 hotel red flags that should make you run in the other direction.
Carson City's hosting a unique hike this summer, from Nevada's capital city all the way to the Canadian border. More on this cool way of promoting outdoor trails around Tahoe, coming up at 11:50.
Thank you for tuning in, live or on the podcast. Welcome to the latest edition of the show designed to make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. Right over there is, a long ways over there, is Mark Hoffman. And you can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com, all brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. All right, good to hear your voice. Mark, you're a long ways away, off to New York this weekend.
I am, actually. From my hotel room here at the Marriott, of course, it's not New Year's Eve. This room would, I wouldn't get this room, and it would cost a lot more. But from my hotel room here at the Marriott, I'm looking out at the, where the ball falls on New Year's Eve, directly out the window. My guess is that this $300 hotel room is probably about a $1,500 hotel room on New Year's Eve. But hey, Tom, before we get started today, I just wanted to, we had a problem last week, a glitch. 20 minutes into the program, something technical happened, and our program went off the air. The station's automation kicked in and put on another program. It was something nobody had any control over, and by the time it got fixed, it was the show had run its course. So what we're doing this week, the travel news was played last week, and of course, from week to week, the news has to be new, so we have fresh travel news for you. And then we're going to give you the part of the program from last week that you didn't hear unless you got into the podcast. So if you're a podcast listener and you think the last two-thirds of the show sounds a little bit like something you've already heard, you would be correct. If you're a radio listener, then the back half of the program will be all new to you because of that glitch last week. Does that make sense?
There you go. Sure does. And we're all set to go. As I mentioned, you're in New York. You've got a lot of stuff on your agenda.
We do, Tom. Broadway shows starting this evening. We went up to the Bronx and spent some time up there. We have a great little day that we spend in the Bronx. When we come to New York, we stay at Marquee, which is right here in the square. So it really gives people a great opportunity to really experience New York and the theater district. And so we'll see a couple of shows, go over to Carnegie Hall on Monday night for a special event, and I'll have a complete report along with some tips for restaurants and stuff when you travel to New York City on next week's program.
Okay, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with this week's fresh and hot off the press travel news, once again, here's Mark Hoffman. Mark?
Proving that not only do sometimes people at the top don't know what's going on at the bottom, the president was quoted this week as saying that tourism being off so much is not a big deal. He was asked about the declining number of visitors by a reporter in the Oval Office. This is according to reports on CBS News, the National Post, and the Daily Beast. Trump said it's not a big deal. There are fewer people suddenly wanting to travel to the United States. He surmised that the decline in international visitors to the U.S. is a little bit due to nationalism. There's a little nationalism there, I guess, perhaps, Trump said, before adding a steady stream of commentary about the dollar, selling tractors, and his friendship with an assassinated former Japanese prime minister. This involves a lot of jobs, folks, and a lot of people. As I've mentioned before on this program, one of the U.S.'s top exports is the amount of money people come here and spend that exceeds what we spend when we go to their countries. So we end up with a very serious net positive balance every year because the United States is a great place to visit. So when people stop coming here, regardless of the reason, if they stop coming here in mass quantities, which seems to be fairly apparent at this point, is what's going to happen this summer. While it will perhaps help domestic tourists with a little bit of lower prices, it's going to mean a whole lot less money in the U.S. Treasury. It's going to be a whole lot of people. I mean, I see people here in New York City hawking tour tickets and stuff like that on the street. Some of those people are going to lose their jobs right away. And some other people that work in hotels and back of the house and things like that. This is not pretty. So for the president to go out and say it's no big deal, in the headlines, I called him a doofus because really and truly he is the president and there should be some measure of respect shown for the office. But he's just poorly informed, really poorly informed. And this tourism thing, if it keeps going, and I don't say this because I am in tourism, like I said, for those of us who have a lot of domestic travelers, it may make a positive difference. But for those who depend on their income, people in border cities and international entry cities, there's going to be a huge drop off in revenue, and it's going to hurt people who can afford to take the hit the least. So to make comments like that is just incredibly, incredibly poorly informed. That's all I can really say. Hey, here's another Southwest Airlines update. They have started refitting their fleet, so it's very possible that you will get on a Southwest plane. And if you're sitting in the first 8 or 9 rows, you might say, did something happen here? Did they move the seats? This kind of seems like it's there's more room here than there used to be. You could be entirely right, because they won't start selling those extra legroom seats and charging more money for them until the first week of January next year. But they're going to be reconfiguring about 150 planes a month in Houston, Phoenix, Denver, and Atlanta. They'll do those overnight. Airbnb has made a move here. They're touting it as a big PR move, but the reality is they've just beat a deadline by a couple of weeks to have to show everything that is included in a charge. You know, if those of you who make Airbnb rentals, you'll know that there's an upfront charge, and then there are things that get added on, you know, cleaning fees and other things like that. Interestingly enough, Airbnb, which got into this, has done what they're supposed to do. It's supposed to be done by May the 12th. U.S. federal regulations about junk fees are set to go into effect on May the 12th. They have done it now. So rather than consumers getting hit with convenience or service fees for hotel bookings or things like that, all of this stuff is going to have to be up front. Airbnb has started already displaying the total prices on default in other parts of the world. They started in Canada in 2022, and now they're using it in the United States. Interestingly enough, Airbnb said at the end of last year, all of their listings, about 40% of the active listings in places where the fees were disclosed up front were eliminating their cleaning fee. In other words, if you have a system where people have to divulge the whole price up front and they can't nickel and dime you later, consumers are way less likely to accept ridiculous fees. And the people who rent those homes and apartments and whatever will feel that immediately. And when their home or apartment isn't being rented, why, then they're going to have to do something about it. And in this case, maybe an exorbitant cleaning fee has come off. The point here is that by having a system where everything is revealed up front, it allows people to make smarter choices. It gets rid of some of the bogus garbage that we're all getting hit with. So cheers to Airbnb for getting in a little bit ahead of the gun. But the good news is that some of the cleaning fees on Airbnb properties are going away. The folks at our TSA in Sacramento, Dale and Sid, who are our contacts out there, remind me again this week that Real ID is coming. It appears that it's going to be enforced May the 7th on time. There are no appointments available anywhere in the greater Sacramento area to make a visit to DMV, which is what you will have to do. So if you have to fly before you can get an appointment in early June, just go to the airport, take your ID. Remember, a passport will get you on the airplane. So if you don't have a passport, Take your regular ID with you. Might not be a bad idea to carry your birth certificate or a copy. There will be a way for you to get on the plane, and as soon as it starts to happen, we'll have some updates on all of that for you. Have you got Tom, are you currently flying much? Have you gotten a real ID?
I got my real ID back quite some time ago, Mark, about the time that Uber and Lyft started up. When the story first broke and we began to cover it early on, I took advantage of this so that I could share with people a little bit about that. And I thought maybe if we could get ahead of the game. Everybody was panicking at that time because they thought that first deadline was going to be it. And, of course, as we know, there was changed several times. But I got my wife and I, we got ours early, and I'm glad we did. Even though I haven't been flying a lot since my daughter moved back from San Antonio to Sacramento, because that was one of my main destinations. And but, yeah, you know, I'm on a plane at least four or five times a year, and I'm glad I got it. And I just keep thinking about those that haven't. And, you know, how it's going to be a real hassle for them to get it going. We did check all over, and there aren't any appointments until June. One of the things I heard on the news not too long ago, here again, and you pointed it out, that you still will be able to get on the plane, but you're going to need some extras. One of them is extra time. And as you're going to need a serious form of personal identification.
Yes, yes. So don't try it. And of course, if you went to the airport today and you had – this happens occasionally. I'll get somebody in a tour group who forgets their ID at home or loses it, and forbid, while they're out on tour. And so when it's – this is under current rules, they have to go and go through a special little process, and TSA asks them some extra questions. I have never had anybody denied getting on the plane. However, this is going to be a little bit different situation, but if you don't have the real ID and you don't have a passport, here's the other deal, Tom. A lot of people are walking around with a real ID and don't know it because, like you, when they renewed their driver's license a couple years ago and there was an option to comply with that, they went ahead and did it. So just take out your if you're not sure, take out your California driver's license. If it's got a bear with a star in the middle of it, then that's you've got a real ID already. So many people, in fact, our TSA friends said that it's surprising how many people have a real ID and don't know it. So before you panic, that's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is if you have a passport, then there's, again, no reason to panic because that will get you on and off the airplane, or if you have to enter a secure government building or something like that after the May 7th deadline, That will be your ID. But of course, they're encouraging people to go ahead and get a new driver's license or ID card if you don't have a driver's license, so that you will have a real ID and you'll be able to go wherever it is that you want to go. Let's see here. A couple more small items in the news. We've talked before about the city of Venice and some other popular tourism destinations imposing a fee on tourists because they're simply overcrowded. There's too many people in too small of a space. And Venetians have decided that that this fee is working for them, that it is cutting down the number of people. Particularly, this is what they're trying to get rid of, is the tourists who pop in and populate popular tourist destinations, you know, like maybe a photo site. And then they pop out again. They don't spend any money. They're not contributing to the local economy. They're just contributing to all of the muck. So Venice started this last year or the year before, 2023. And so it has cut down some of the crowding, and it's basically getting rid of some of the freeloaders, which was what they were hoping they were going to be able to do. Mentioned before that cruise lines are protesting proposed Hawaii taxes. Hawaii legislatures are proposing taxes on cruise ship passengers that would levy a per-person fee or tax on cabins like hotel rooms, a plan the cruise industry said could add hundreds of dollars to the price of a Hawaiian itinerary. That's complete BS. I'll explain that in a minute. While sponsors say it would treat cruise ships like hotels and make them pay their fair share. So right now, a cruise ship docks on the shore, and it doesn't pay any hotel tax. But if you stay in a hotel on land, you're paying hotel taxes. Now, remember, wherever that cruise ship is docking, those folks are helping to provide docking services and a lot of things that cost a city or a state money for that cruise ship to dock. And the cruise ship is paying docking fees and the like. But how interesting that, and some local hotel people in Hawaii are actually in favor of this. They say that if the cruise ships are docking and people are spending the night at a Hawaiian dock on a cruise ship, that they should be subject to the same taxes that people are subject to if they're staying in a hotel on that island. And I think it's a pretty strong argument. Of course, the hotel people think it's ridiculous. Now, to the comment that it would have had hundreds of dollars, that is just not true. If you were paying, let's say, $250 for a hotel room in Hawaii, and you were, let's pretend you're staying in Hawaii for 7 days, so you're paying an average of $250 for a hotel room, you're going to pay about $175 or so probably in hotel taxes over the course of 6 nights. So when they say it would add hundreds and hundreds of dollars to a cruise, it would not. If the cruise was not docked and it was out in the water, then there would likely be no tax. So if you're on a cruise ship for 6 nights and you're traversing between islands on a couple, three of those nights, then you're talking about probably $75 in extra costs. So there, don't make any mistake about it. It would go up. It would be, in essence, an extra charge for cruise ship passengers. But I think it's a strong argument that the Hawaiian people are making. And if it works in Hawaii, if it passes in Hawaii, you can bet that it will be introduced in other places because cruise ships dock overnight in more than just Hawaii. Okay, that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Check us out at travelguysradio.com. Links to our special guests and so much more and stuff to make you a smarter traveler is always found there. And don't forget our friends Steve and Laura and all of those over at Rudy's Hideaway, always there waiting to greet you and serve you the best food you can find in the Sacramento region, in fact, even beyond. If you want great lobster, theirs is the best and the biggest. And, of course, Mark's favorite, the halibut and the clam chowder. And if you're planning on having a, you know, maybe a gathering with some family or friends or a little party and you want to have a place for it, Rudy's will hook you up with special menus and so much more. And always remember, Rudy's is super duper good at catering. They'll even bring it down to hamburgers and hot dogs along with filet mignon and lobster if you like. And don't forget, Rudy's always has ready to go. The Travel Guy Special, 6-ounce lobster tail for $29.95. And right there off of Highway 50 and Hazel.
Tiny bone to pick here. This happened on an airplane with me last week. Folks, when the airplane lands, first of all, don't get out of your seat and start up the aisle until the plane actually gets to the gate and the seatbelt sign gets off. Because you opening those overhead bins while the plane is still on the tarmac is not only incredibly dangerous to you, but it's incredibly dangerous to the other people sitting around you.
My gosh, you mean somebody got up while the plane was still moving?
Got up while the plane was still coming into the gate. We had just made the turn and were being marshaled into the gate. And so apparently this couple had a very tight connection. Now, our flight was like 20 minutes early. So if you had a tight connection on a flight that was 20 minutes early, logic tells me that you should have bought a seat towards the front of the airplane and paid for it because you wouldn't have had to run over 80 people. But this happens every once in a while. Either people who their claim is they have a tight connection or they just have you. I'm sure other folks who are listening have had this happen to them. Folks get up and they come charging up the aisle. Well, of course, everybody's getting out of their seat, getting into the overheads and stuff. And it's a really dangerous thing. So listen, if you need to get, you know, you have a tight connection and you have to get off the plane really quickly, then pay for a seat, an economy plus seat. And that'll help solve your problem. It'll save you about 6-7 minutes probably getting off the plane, which might make all the difference. And you won't have to kill your fellow passengers. All right. Quick here, another update. A real ID. We talked about this a lot last week. A listener wrote me, Tom, to remind me that you don't have to have a driver's license to get a real ID if you have an ID card. Because he mentioned seniors, some older folks that don't drive.
just have an ID card.
Right.
That will take the place of a driver's license to help you get a real ID. A real ID requires you make a physical visit to a DMV office. You have to gather some documents. You can download them ahead of time, which will save you some time when you get there, or take them with you if you don't know how to do that. But you have to get a physical appointment. The bad news is there are no more physical appointments at any of the Sacramento DMV offices, at least when I checked on yesterday, until the 13th of June. So if you're planning on traveling between the 7th of May and the 13th of June, and you don't have a real ID, you've got to use your passport. There's another a list of other documents you can use. They're kind of minor and not very many people would have them, but it's worth taking a look at. If you don't have a passport, you can still fly. You can go to the airport. Our friends Dale and Sid at TSA in Sacramento tell us that the feds are serious about this. And as far as they know, there is not going to be any extension. So maybe there will be at the last minute if a bunch of people can't get appointments, but I think you have to assume that's not going to happen. If you don't have a real ID or a passport, go to the airport early. You're going to have to go through a little bit of rigmarole, just like you would if you left your ID at home before all of this happened. But you will still be they assure me that you, if you can prove who you are, you will still be able to get on an aircraft. So you might consider throwing in your purse or your wallet, something that shows a piece of mail, a utility bill, or something that shows that you live at your address, that maybe is on your current license and stuff like. I'm sure we're going to get more guidance from the feds on how to get through TSA if you don't have it. But what I wanted to tell people is if you have waited until now to start the process and you have to travel in May, you've waited too long. So if you need to do it, still go ahead and do it. If you don't, if you have a passport, wait until the dust clears and get your real ID later in the summer.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Many of our regular listeners know that I am the owner of a tour company called Sports Leisure Vacations. And twice a year at Sports Leisure Vacations, we invite new customers to come and old existing customers to come and find out what we have planned for the coming months. One of those tour preview days is coming up on Saturday, May the 17th at the KVIE studios. We will have a morning and afternoon session. The morning session is full, but we have room for a few folks in the afternoon. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find a link there to the Sports Leisure website, and you can request information about tour preview day on Saturday afternoon, the 17th of May. You can join us for a couple of hours. If you're a mature traveler and you've heard a lot about Sports Leisure Vacations, this is your opportunity to come out and find out in person. Saturday, May the 17th at KVIE Studios. Advance reservations are required.
There you go. And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. A quick question, Mark, about tour preview day that we're having here at this time of the year. As we mentioned about a week or so ago, that if you go to your online for Sports Leisure, you'll see that a lot of trips are sold out. And is this the time of the year that you add more trips for the rest of the year?
Yes, all of our holiday schedule, a couple of new trips for the fall, and all of our holiday schedule in the first quarter of next year, some of the major tours will be announced at this preview day. And how do I say this and not sound too egotistical here? Our trips fill up really quickly.
Yeah.
And so if you are a traveler who is not familiar with our product, the best thing to do is come out to preview day and find out a little bit about it. And then you've got the information. And if you like what you hear, why, you can jump on board right away. If you wait even a few days or a couple of weeks, in many cases, yes. We were talking the other day, we only have a few trips right now currently that have been announced that have space available. So we have a good following, and that's a wonderful thing. And I'm very appreciative of all the people who choose Sports Leisure Vacations.
One of the things that folks are always concerned about when they travel, and that is the hotel and their accommodations, where they're going to stay. Is it clean? Is it bed bug free? And the list of things go on and on. Mark, you ran across something that you call 7 hotel red flags that should make you run in the other direction. Let's talk about that.
This article originally appeared in the Washington Post, and unfortunately I can't give you a link to that because it's a subscription only, even online. So if you go to, however, 7 Hotel Red Flags, several articles will come up. And we have created a compilation of those articles to try to give you some things that when you're booking a hotel and you're online, these are things, or even if you're talking to them in person, or even if you get there in person, these are things that should be red flags. First of all, off-kilter booking sites. If you're going to a hotel booking site and something doesn't appear to be quite right, it's very possible that you've gone to a fake site. So make sure that when you go online, I always try to book at the hotel's official site, or I will, if I'm booking a Marriott hotel, I'll go to Marriott.com and then enter the location of the hotel that I'm looking for, and that will take me to the choices for that city or that region. So off-kilter booking sites can be a sign, not that necessarily that you picked a bad hotel, but that you're about to be had while you're booking the hotel. So be careful, because sometimes when you Google a hotel name, the first site or two or seven that come up are commercial sites, which may not be the same as the official site for the hotel. So that's your first red flag. Next one is too many bad reviews. This is kind of an obvious one. In this day and age, a lot of people depend on reviews. Also, too many good reviews can be a little bit of a problem, because reviews can be AI generated now. But that's another thing to look at, is too many bad reviews or too many effusive reviews, people just falling all over themselves about how wonderful everything in the hotel was and not being very objective. If you read a review that says, wow, this was a great place to stay, we had a wonderful time, here's just one suggestion for improvement, that might be the sign that you've stumbled onto a legitimate review. Bad real life interactions. This can include especially making a phone call. In this case, these days, you rarely are going to get to talk to somebody at the hotel. You're going to talk to somebody at a central reservation location, unless you're booking a small hotel. And if you can't get, whether it's a big hotel or a small one, if you can't get them to answer the phone, or if you call the hotel and you get through and somebody says, gee, can you hold a minute? And you say, sure. And a minute turns into 10. That could be a sign of a couple of things. Maybe the hotel doesn't value your business. Maybe they don't have enough help to be able to answer people's questions and take reservations. It should be a red flag. If you walk into the hotel and the lobby is messy, or it smells too much like air freshener, or it has obvious maintenance issues, the furniture is falling apart, etc., those would be another red flag. Of course, that's a red flag that you would get when you get there. Are common areas dirty, like the breakfast area or the public restrooms? That's another thing that would be a problem. Light bulbs out in common areas typically exemplify a lack of detail and care. When I am inspecting hotels for Sports Leisure Vacations for potential use, if I go in and I find, and I'm doing a what we call a site inspection, and I find, the lobby isn't too clean, the lighting isn't good because somebody hasn't replaced the burned out bulbs for a while, that would be a sign of something that might not be. Bathrooms that haven't been attended to, public restrooms where the garbage is overflowing would be another thing. If you're checking into a hotel and they don't request identification upon arrival, then that would be kind of a red flag. So some of these are flags that you would get before you get there. Some are flags that you would get after you get there. But all of them are signs of if you are talking to someone at the phone at the hotel because you've called to say, gee, is there a refrigerator in the room, and they can't answer your question, then are they leave you on hold forever? Some of these things are common sense, but it's amazing how many times people push these things to the side, then get to the hotel and say, gee, you know, the fact that I was on hold forever and they couldn't answer simple questions, maybe that could have been some clues, some red flags to the fact that the place I was checking into was not the best. We just stayed in the Brown Hotel in Louisville, which is a classic old hotel in downtown Louisville. The breakfast buffet there is probably the most amazing breakfast buffet in the country. And if you sat down, if your plate got empty or even close to empty, or your water glass was half empty, there was somebody there within seconds offering to fill it. The service was that good. So anyway, if you are in a situation where you need a hotel, make sure that you watch for the red flags that could get you in trouble.
Well, that's some great information that everybody can use when booking a hotel. You know, one of the things I've heard about is this place called the HBO's White Lotus Hotel. Don't know much about it, but I understand it's a little on the pricey side, Mark.
It is. It's an HBO series, and the White Lotus Hotel chain is not a real hotel. It's a fictional representation of luxury resorts.
Ah.
So, for example, the third season was filmed at a five-star Four Seasons resort, and which charges in the neighborhood of $8,000 to $10,000 a night.
Ooh.
So that's for the big suite rooms. Regular hotel rooms are still upwards of $2,000 a night. So if you're looking at it and you're thinking, wow, that's real luxury, that's where I'd like to go, just know to go to a place like that probably is going to cost you in the neighborhood of a couple grand a night.
So what do you do with that? You know, I mean, there are some pretty extravagant places to stay and places to go, but I don't know.
That's a lot of money for a hotel for one night. But, you know, if you got money to burn or that's the big thing in life that you want to do, it's at the top of your bucket list. You can afford to do it. There you go.
Joining us today, Lydia Beck, marketing and PR manager for Visit Carson City. Got a big event coming up there. It starts one day, and 3 months later, it comes to an end. Lydia, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I found this to be kind of interesting. The headline says, Visit Carson City announces winning hikers set to participate in the Carson City to Canada Quest, each earning $5,000. Please tell the folks who are listening, if you can, in a nutshell, what the Carson City to Canada Quest is.
Sure. So the Carson City to Canada Quest was born from our first single track connector trail from Carson City to Lake Tahoe called the Capital to Tahoe Trail. And we were doing some press for the grand opening of the event, and our trails coordinator for the city, Greg Bergeron, said, I just think it's so incredible that someone can actually hike from Carson City all the way to Canada or Mexico, because this connects to the Tahoe Rim Trail, which connects to the Pacific Crest Trail. And I said, I want to see someone do it. And so the Carson City Canada Quest was born to challenge two hikers to hike all the way. We chose Canada to head north, just so we had, an easier pathway for this to be, to bring this to life. And we had 350 applicants that came and applied for the quest, and we ended up choosing two, and they will be on their way in June.
Lydia, I have to ask you, what were the criteria? These two gals that applied, what was it about them that chose you to pick these people to take this quest, to be offered a chance at this?
Sure. Well, we had part of the application process was submitting a 60-second video of why you felt you were the best fit for the challenge. So obviously the physicality part of it is necessary. We needed to have people who were physically able to hike that 1,600 miles from Carson City to Canada via the Capital of the Tahoe Trail. But we also wanted to have someone bring us along for the ride. So we wanted them to have a storytelling capability, have a social media presence that we could tap into so that we could see what this journey is like. Because the through hiking is such a niche, small community that you don't always get to go along for the ride. And so we really wanted to see what it's like to go starting in Carson City at the steps of the Capitol all the way to Canada. So not only were these two ladies physically capable, but they were wonderful storytellers and just incredible human beings on top of it. And they were wonderful to interview, and their submission videos were incredible as well. And so those were just some of the criteria that we looked at when we were choosing our candidates.
We're talking with Lydia Beck, from Visit Carson City about the Canada Quest, a 1,600-mile hike. Now, obviously, they're not going to do this in one day or 2 days or a week. It's 1,600 miles, so it's going to take a couple, 3 months, yes?
Yes, it really just depends on how quick and how far someone can hike. And so we anticipate them completing within anywhere from 2 to 4 months. So we should see them hit the end of the trail by the end of October at the latest.
Lydia, tell our listeners how they can follow along or and experience this, vicariously, probably by Instagram and YouTube. these two gals' journey.
Yes. So the best way to follow along and find all the information in one place is visit carsoncity.com/quest. And that will have our social media channels, which will be sharing Julianne and Audrey, our two hikers, their content that they're going to be producing for us. We're asking them to do an update once a week. And then we'll have a little pin on the map on the landing page telling people know where they are. It's actually very cool. Audrey, one of the hikers, is actually doing the full PCT and then coming into Carson City and then hiking and starting with Julianne at the end of June. So she's already on her journey, which is very exciting. So you can kind of see some updates from there. So I would say our landing page, visit carsoncity.com/quest, is the best way to find all the information and the best socials for to basically follow along on.
Fun. We will put a link to your website at travelguysradio.com. So if you folks are interested, any listeners are interested in following along. And also, once the ladies start their quest, which is going to be sometime in June?
You would believe the end of June is when they are anticipating to start from Carson City and heading north.
Okay. So we'll remind you all when they get started, end of June, and maybe we'll kind of follow along a little bit with them on the air here.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Lydia, I don't think we asked. What is the purpose of this? What is to be gained by the Carson City Visitors Bureau in your area for hosting something like this?
Sure. Well, the Capital to Tahoe Trail that opened in 2023, like I mentioned, is the first single track connection from Carson City to Lake Tahoe, which really opens us up to the world as far as, you know, long distance hiking or short distance hiking. We really are in the middle of northern Nevada. We're the center point of that experience. And we have world-class trails. We have over 100 miles of trails in Carson City. And now that really opens up to Tahoe. And so we just wanted this to bring awareness to Carson City outdoor recreation, which is so plentiful, but the city itself in a really unique way.
How far is the trail?
We're a great destination.
Lydia, can I ask you, how far is the trail from Carson City to Tahoe?
Sure. So there's a couple different segments that get you up to Tahoe. If you want to start at the steps of the Capitol, like the hikers are doing, it's 16 miles from there up to Tahoe. But the new trail, the Capitol to Tahoe Trail, you can access via our Ash to Kings Trail, and that is about 10 miles from the start of the Capitol Tahoe up to Tahoe.
So if you're an active hiker, that is something that legitimately could be done in a day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And many people have, and people love it as a mountain biking trail. So we're seeing a lot of use on the trail. Usually the snow is gone in July, and so we've only had a couple of seasons where it's really been open. So we're really looking forward to people utilizing that and giving us even more feedback the more people that use it.
Awesome. Awesome. Lydia Beck from Visit Carson City talking about a 1,600-mile hike the two ladies are going to take starting in June, called the Canada Quest. We will double back and check in with you, Lydia, when the ladies get started. If you'll mark your calendar or something like that, once they've gotten started, let's tell our listeners about it and let them follow along. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Wow, I have a hard time hiking to the mailbox. Mark, have you ever done any long distance hiking?
I'm not a big hiker. I used to organize walkathons for the March of Dimes back in the day when walkathons, instead of being, you know, first they were 30 miles to start with, and then they were 30 kilometers, and then they were, you know, 8 miles, and they've gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. But I organized walks like that, but I was never foolish enough to try and make one.
There you go. Anyway, fascinating. We'll have to follow along. Look forward to some updates along the way. What else you got for us here, Mark, as we get ready to wrap up today's Travel Guys radio program?
I got a few little odds and ends here. American Airlines says they're going to offer free in-flight Wi-Fi if you're a member of their loyalty program starting in January 2026. All I can say, it's about time. United Airlines is also in the process of equipping its planes with SpaceX's Starlink satellite Wi-Fi. It plans to make its service free for members of its loyalty club, and that's coming right about the time that United is already in the process of outfitting the planes. So soon, before the 21st century is over, we will have Wi-Fi in the sky, and instead of having to pay for it, it will be free, which is my favorite word when I'm traveling, free. If you folks are driving around Sacramento this month, you're getting ready to start out a trip. God, this would be a terrible way to start a trip. It's Distracted Driving Awareness Month. the Sacramento Police Department wants you to know that they are looking for you. For those of you who are texting or using your cell phone while you're driving, cause of more accidents than anything else, Police Department urges all drivers to take simple precautions. Silence your phone and place it out of reach. Set your navigation and adjust controls before you drive. Keep both hands on the wheel and eyes on the road. Avoid eating, grooming, or multitasking while driving. These are all pretty simple things. Everybody grooming. Is just going to, yeah, they're just going to skip to the end. This is a good one, though. Speak up if you're a passenger and notice the driver is distracted. The life you save might be your own.
Wow.
You know, if the person you're driving with is on the cell phone and playing around and stuff like that, that would be a really awkward situation. But more awkward would be leaving the scene of the accident in a stretcher. So you might think about that. And if something urgent arises, you know, pull over safely and call the person back or do whatever it is, you know, figure it out that you've lost, you're off your GPS or whatever. Anyway, distracted driving month here in Sack of Tomatoes. So make sure that if you're in the city limits or anywhere else that you want to pay attention.
I recently upgraded my automobile to a 2025. A Subaru, I might add, from my friends at Shingle Spring Subaru. And it has a feature, Mark, that it sees your face. It recognizes your face. It knows who you are in your car. It'll say, "Hi, Tom," when I get in. And if I'm driving along and I happen to glance over one way or the other for any length of time, it will beep at me and it'll say, "Keep your eyes on the road."
Ooh, wow. Wow.
And I mean, it doesn't verbally like, say that, but it'll put it on the screen.
With a face like yours, I'm sure it recognizes you every time. I'm sorry. That was so easy. I couldn't resist.
I set myself up for that one.
A couple other quick ones here. American Cruise Lines says they're going to do a transcontinental voyage, a 51-day tour commemorating the nation's 250th birthday next year. It's going to start in Charleston. Takes passengers across the country before finally disembarking them in Juneau, Alaska. You'll board 5 ships. There will be at least 2 flights, so it's not all cruising. Includes a cruise that rounds the state of Florida, a trip down the Mississippi from Memphis to New Orleans, and a jaunt on the Columbia and Snake Rivers. American Cruise Lines, 51 days commemorating the country's 250th birthday. Bring your wallet. 51 days on a cruise ship will be, if that's on your bucket list, then bring your wallet.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah. you know, people go on vacations, extended places, and 51 days. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like Chris Elliott.
Between you, me, and the fence post, no, not on a cruise ship. Not 51 days or 41 days or 31 days or 21 days or 11 days, maybe a day. Speaking of cruise lines, Hawaii has decided that here's a novel idea. Cruise lines could pay taxes just like people pay hotel taxes. Wherever your ship was moored, you would pay taxes. Of course, the cruise lines think this is the worst idea in history, but we'll keep you posted. Cruise lines are protesting against proposed Hawaii taxes because then they would have to pay just like the rest of us.
All right. Well, that looks like it's a wrap for another fabulous Travel Guys radio program. Remember, visit us at travelguysradio.com. Links to all the stuff we talk about, as well as a place for you to download or, better yet, listen to podcasts of our shows from the past. Mark?
You betcha. Remember to dance like nobody's watching. I'm off to New York City, where we will join you next week live from the Big Apple. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching and have a great week.